Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Butch UK podcast. I'm Alex, and I'm joined this week by regulars David and Phil, but we also have a very special guest for you as well. He has been on our podcast before, and we are delighted to welcome him back for this one. He's the senior writer, editor for the Buccaneers, Scott Smith. Scott, how are you? It's wonderful to have you back on our show. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I very much appreciate the invite. I had a really good time last time y'all were kind enough to have me on.
It was wonderful to have you then as well. We could talk about you, Scott, again for the whole episode. But as you say, we have done that before. It was a really, really wonderful interview. We were very privileged that Scott did come on to do that with us. So if you haven't checked out that episode, it will be in the description below. Don't go and watch it yet, though. Make sure you watch this one first, then go and watch that one. As usual, please make sure you smash that like button and subscribe to our channel if you aren't already. Plus, make sure you turn on that notification bell so you are notified every time we upload. So, of course, the reason we are here today is to discuss the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2023 schedule for our American viewers as well, and for Scott there. Let's just quickly run through some of the headlines from the schedule. The Buccaneers start and finish the season on the road, a very early bye week, week 5 this coming season. Two tough primetime games at the moment against the Eagles and the Bills. And then in November, there's only one home game out of 4, so that's going to be tough as well. But I do want to get your initial thoughts on the schedule for the season. Scott, I'd like to come to you first. Of course, you have also done an article about the schedule on Buccaneers.com. Again, I'll put a link to that in the description below for you guys to go and read out. But Scott, please just give us your initial thoughts on the schedule for the 2023 season.
Well, first of all, for the record, I think your all way of pronouncing schedule is far superior. I wish we did it that way. But I guess, you know, getting the two primetime games, it seems like a hefty step down for us after 3 straight seasons of getting the maximum games. And, you know, we expected that to be less after Tom Brady left. But I still think those are two pretty exciting games for the Bucs to be highlighted on primetime. So those jump right out at me. I mean, playing the Eagles again, it reminds me of 2018 after they won their Super Bowl. They came here in week 2. It wasn't a Monday night game, but it was a late afternoon game. And we beat them in that game. So, you know, maybe coming in week 3 after the next Super Bowl, maybe it'll be something similar. And then that game in Buffalo on a Thursday night, that should be an exciting one too. And it's very rare for this is only the third time the Bucs ever played a regular season game in Buffalo. So it's always fun to go somewhere new and, you know, that you haven't seen a whole lot of. But you mentioned the bye week is early. One thing that jumps out to me, a couple things really, there's a very unusual stretch. I'm sure you've noticed that in the middle where we play 6 road games in an 8-week span. That's not very common. It's only happened 2 other times in team history. And then obviously the early bye, but early on, the Bucs defense is going to really need to work on stopping mobile quarterbacks, because right out the gate, you get Jalen Hurts, you get Justin Fields, and then maybe a little bit later in the season, you might get Anthony Richardson if he's starting for them. So that's going to be a challenge that jumps out at me right away early in the season.
Well, is it safe to say that, the Mayfield effect doesn't hold the same weight as the Brady effect when it comes to the schedule?
I think you can safely say that. Yeah, I mean, well, the one thing that I think is quite an intriguing schedule, to be quite honest, because there's so many questions that need to be answered. I mean, even in our division, it isn't just Baker Mayfield that's starting. There's 2 other quarterbacks, isn't there? There's Bryce Young, and there's the Carr at the Saints. So I just think there's so many. I think it's one of the most intriguing schedules it's been for many a year, actually, because I was going through it today and I thought, well, you know, the Jaguars were actually my tip probably to go to the AFC Championship game. And, you know, there's so many, you know, we go to Green Bay with, you know, there's no more Aaron Rodgers there, thank goodness. And, you know, so I just think there's going to be a lot of interesting games here. You know, Chicago invested very heavily, Justin Fields. So, yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting times, you know.
David, the Bucs start off against the Vikings on the road and then into 2 home games as well. Could obviously, you never really want to start on the road, you'd rather start at home, but having those 2 home games straight afterwards could be vital.
Yeah, they will be. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of changes in our roster this year. It's important. We've amazing, really, job by the front office again to keep the positions we have got. I think, you know, at the end of last season, we were thinking this is going to be a rebuild. But actually, this is still going to be a competitive team, which I think is really exciting. My only worry is that we've got a lot of the home games early on in the season. That could be a good thing to give them sort of a bit of an up, but really they're going to have to find their feet pretty quickly. Really tough opener away at the Vikings. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, there we are on Monday Night Football, isn't it? So, yeah, a really tricky opening series that.
Hey, real quick, to those points we were just making, Minnesota on the road, that looks hard. It looks like one of the tougher games because I think they were the second or third seed. They went like something like 13-4 last year. But I think you guys know this as well. They barely won a lot of their games. They actually had a negative point differential on the season. Then they gave up more yards than they gained. So it's maybe that record's maybe a little bit misleading. So, you know, I think at Green Bay could have been even tougher, or, you know, there's some other games at San Francisco that probably would have been a rougher way to start the season. And you make a good point about a lot of home games early on. And I agree with you completely. It's going to be important that the Buccaneers get their footing early, because if you don't come out of that stretch with a pretty decent record, you're in a hole. And the problem is, it's not an easy stretch. There's some tough teams in there, like the Eagles and the Lions, and we don't know how good the Falcons are going to be. But according to Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysis, judged on projected win totals, the Buccaneers have the fifth hardest schedule for the first 6 weeks. So it is a gauntlet. And the Bucs do need to kind of get out to a fast start so as not to get in a hole early. And then you don't want to run into that stretch of six road games in 8 weeks already in a hole.
I think I read somewhere as well about the Vikings, the home game for the Vikings. It depends which Vikings team turn up. I mean, they're so inconsistent. Sometimes you think they've got a nailed on certain to win and they lose. You never can tell with the Vikings exactly what's going to happen with them, you know.
Well, how about this is a – compare the – In 1998, the Buccaneers started on the road at Minnesota. And in 97, they had been really good and probably expected to go back to the playoffs again. That was the breakout year in 97. Went up to Minnesota, got waxed in something like 31-7. And 98, started out like 3-5, and 98 went down the drain quickly, and, you know, before they rebounded and started making the playoffs again. Then in 2005, we were coming off a really, really bad 2004 season. It's one of the worst in team history. And, 2005 went up to Minnesota. That was the Cadillac Williams game where he went nuts and had the long touchdown towards the end. And the Bucs won that game. I don't remember the exact score, 24-13, it looks like. And that was the start of a surprisingly really good season. And that team had a third-year young quarterback in Chris Sims who hadn't played much yet. And it had a veteran in Brian Greasy. And Brian Greasy started the season, but I think he got hurt later. And then Chris Sims came in. So you have a very similar kind of thing as this year with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. So is this team going to be the 98 team, or is it going to be the 2005 team? Because those were two pretty diverging paths that started with a game in Minnesota.
And then let's just have a look at this week four quickly, because going to the Saints is always it's always been a bit of an Achilles heel for the Bucs over years. But then we have the bye week straight after. I mean, Scott, do you think having that bye week straight after facing the Saints could be just that breather, so to speak, that we need? Because it just doesn't seem to quite go right whenever we go to New Orleans.
Yeah, I hate that trip every year. I hate that building. I hate the music. Everything about that trip I can't stand. And you're right, other than the 2020 playoff game, which was huge, obviously, and then I think we won there last year early on, it has been a house of horrors for us. And, you know, there's reason to believe that's what I was talking about a tough starting stretch. Even though the Saints were 7-10 last year, I think if you look at betting odds, people consider them the favorite to win the division after they got Derek Carr. They definitely have the most settled quarterback situation. That could be a tough game, and the only problem is if it does go badly for the Bucs, I'm not sure you really want a bye week to sit there and wallow about that. You'd rather get right back on the field. So you guys know, early bye weeks, you really can't tell until a season what would have been best. If four guys get hurt in week three, then a week five is going to be a great bye week. But generally speaking, you want them later because there's a higher chance that you'll build up more guys that are dealing with injuries, and you're more, you know, that it's more helpful later in the season when you've been playing a lot already. So week five, I don't know, for both those reasons, it doesn't look like an awesome place for the bye week for us.
And then when we, after the bye week, of course, we've got another two home games, which again, that leads us into that stretch that we were discussing, or you were mentioning, Scott, about the six road games we have within eight games there. That, Bill, is going to be such a tough period for the team. Yes.
I just think that going into it, you know, it's like, I don't think it's as bad as Pepper is making out. You know, we've got the home games to build up some confidence up. And confidence is going to be the key thing, because everybody's looking at us through a microscope. You know, no Tom Brady. And there's also other key players that have gone missing. And I just think that, you know, we've got a chance to build a bit of confidence up, and then you're going to play them at some stage. So I don't think it's as bad as what everybody's making out this one. I don't think we'll be as bad as what people think. But yeah, like you say, it's tough. And there's some tough names in there. The 49ers is never an easy place to go to, is it? And I don't know why you're worried about the Saints. I don't think they're that good this year. So I don't know if concerned about them at all.
Right.
Yeah. And if we come to think about it, the last time that we actually went to a game there, Dave, I think we won, didn't we? Though?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, so it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Did you go to the Fitzpatrick game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think without a Brady effect, we are likely to be less looked at, and I think we could surprise a few people. I think a lot of people have already written us off. And I actually think that could work in our favour. I think, you know, we've actually made such good investments so far this off-season. Yeah, I mean, the Saints, I think the whole division, I think, for us is up for grabs, definitely.
Mm. Well, so,
Bill, you were talking about...
We have a good saying over here, don't we? Is in Jason we trust, you know. And I just think, you know, we have a very solid draft, and I just think, you know, we've got a good lot of good young players that they go stand up to the plate now. So it's going to be a really interesting season for us. Real sort of, you know, we're not expecting big things, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as everybody keeps making it out. It's going to be. I think it's going to be much better.
Phil, you were talking about travel, most of the things that I pointed out, you guys already know, like early bye week and six road games and eight weeks, but I got a note for you that I'm willing to bet you guys don't know, because I just discovered it yesterday myself. The Buccaneers this season have the worst net differential of travel miles between them and their opponents this year. It's almost 8,000 more miles that the Bucs have to travel for their games than the teams coming to Tampa have to travel. And that's obviously not a good thing. Now, that didn't have anything to do with how the games were arranged. We were going to make all those trips anyway. And it's also partly because you have nine. Since it's our year, it's AFC's year, you have nine road games instead of eight. So that's part of it as well. But the single worst one in the whole NFL this year.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems without Brady, we're not looked after very well again by the league.
they didn't do us any favors. We also
no, have back to the old also, times.
Yeah, I don't think the schedule makers did us. It's not terrible, but I don't think they did us any favors with some of this stuff. Like, we have a -8 days of rest differential too, because we play three teams that are coming off Thursday games the week before, so they have what we call a mini bye after that, because they get the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the whole next week. That happens to us three times this year, and the rest of it kind of cancels out. So we have eight fewer days of rest between games than our opponents this year, which is not a great place to be.
No.
Now, Scott, I just this is something that us UK fans feel or have been feeling for the last few seasons. So I just want to come back to these prime time games, which personally, I'm delighted to see we don't have as many as we did have because, trying to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, then going to work on the same day was a bit of a killer.
Yeah.
So, from a positive, David, for us UK fans anyway, we're going to see a lot of earlier kickoffs, which, like I say, positive for us there. But then it's, you know, when we were seeing those prime time games, that was a good thing for the team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, the other good thing about having early kickoffs as well is because we about 2 or 3 years ago, Scott, we started having watch parties at the local, all over the country, you know, and we started one in London, which went very well. Then we had one in Leeds and London, which was an absolute riot. And last year was even worse, where Birmingham, Leeds, London. So, and we were a bit stuck which games we could have because there was so many early, it wasn't many early kickoffs. Now we've got loads.
Lots to choose from. It's going to be great.
Apparently, we're on a completely selfish footing. We're all going to Edinburgh, apparently.
Everything
was going to happen there.
It's fine to be selfish about this. I can tell you that's the way we feel here too, because obviously it's great for the franchise to be on so many primetime and nationally televised games. But from a work standpoint, we love 1 o'clock games. And I can tell you, you probably already know this, but coaches love 1 o'clock games. I think most coaches would like to play every Sunday at 1 o'clock because they like that schedule. That's the same. These coaches always like to have the same schedule that they follow to the minute week after week. And when Todd Bowles was asked his reactions to the schedule, there were three things. He said, first, he looks for when the bye week is, which we talked about. So they do care about that. And then he looks to see if there's any cold weather games, which we really probably only have one, maybe two. And then he looks to see where they have the Sunday to Thursday quick turnaround. So those are obviously all things he knows he's going to have to deal with in terms of how to lead the team and schedule the schedule. And I'm sure he'd rather just have them all be at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
She spoke about the cold games, Green Bay in December.
I love it.
Were you reading my mind there, David? I was just about to say that. You got Green Bay in mid-December, but then the team and the Scott, I'm sure you're worried about this as well. You come back to Florida for the two following games, and it's Carolina to finish off the season, which is so a nice way on paper anyway. It looks like those last three games, a nice way to finish off the regular season.
Yeah, and I'm personally really looking forward to going to Lambeau in mid-February. I mean, I'm not the guy that has to be down there on the field, obviously, so maybe I'm a little selfish, but that's football, right? That's the history of football. Cold weather game in Lambeau Field, I think sounds like a lot of fun. But yeah, then you get the two home games. If you're in a race there, it's nice to have two of your final three at home. And your last trip could really be a deciding factor there with Carolina, like it was in week 17 last year. So yeah, that's a nice finish right there.
Coming back to you again, Scott, here. I'm not going to ask you to put your money where your mouth is because I know it's still very early on and there's still a lot of things that can change with the roster and players coming in and out. But it's just sort of summarized for us. How do you, if you're able to and you're willing to, of course, how do you see the team sort of going this year in terms of wins and losses, looking at that schedule and what we're seeing from the development of the players so far?
I'll tell you what, I think maybe it was Phil that was saying this. Going into after Tom Brady retired and you were getting ready for free agency, the Bucs had this horrible, horrible cap situation. And they had to release some players like Donovan Smith, you know, guys that have been really important players, Cam Brady here for a long time. And they took the entire Tom Brady dead cap hit, which they could have spread out over two seasons, and took it all this year. And for all those reasons, I thought, okay, this is not going to be, I wouldn't say a rebuild year, but they're not going to be able to go for it. You know, this could be a year where they expect maybe a little bit of a dip and they prepare for next year. And then the offseason started and the moves they started to make, re-signing Jamel Dean, re-signing Levante David, bringing in guys like Baker Mayfield and Matt Filer and Chase Edmonds, all these things to me say they're still trying. And your guy, Jason Light, will say, we want to make decisions that will keep us competitive this year, but not at the expense of future years. And I think he's kind of toeing the line there. And I'm kind of impressed. I think you said the same thing, Phil. I'm kind of impressed with what him and his people have done. This team, to me, I know most of you, I'll tell you, in case if you don't see it, most of the national media around here has completely written us off. You often see us as like 30th or 31st in power rankings. And it's almost like they believe, well, Tom Brady's gone. I don't necessarily like their quarterback situation. So therefore, the whole team stinks. Well, obviously, you do need to have good quarterback play to go anywhere. But there's a lot of talent on this roster. And Jason and his people plugged a lot of obvious holes. And if and I know it's not proven that it's not sure that it'll happen, but if Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask gives you competent quarterback play, and we have seen Baker do that in the past, he had one really good season. I'm not writing off everything else that has happened, but we've seen that he's capable of it. I think we're pretty competitive. I don't know why people are looking at this roster other than that quarterback and thinking it's so barren. I mean, I'd rather have our roster than the Cardinals roster or the Rams roster. Look at the Rams have to do. They have to really, they can't sign. They haven't signed a single player in free agency and they've lost a bunch of players. We're not in that situation. I think we're still trying to be competitive. And in this division, we should be able to be.
I totally agree with this. Totally agree with it. Everybody's been writing us up and I think we're flying under the radar here. I really do. You know, we've got a lot of good young players that came through last year. I think that they're just going to continue with where they left off. And I'm very impressed with the draft situation. Filled some very, very important holes with some very solid players. So yeah, and you've still got your Mike Evans and Chris Godwins and all those sort of players, which are top class players. And on defense, you've got Vita Vea and all them, and Devin White this week, I just can't quite get my head. And I keep looking over your shoulders, Scott, looking at all these people. They've got these people, these teams we're playing. They've got a lot of questions. Is Bryce Young going to stand up to the thing? Is Derek Carr going to be a success? Chicago invested heavily. Is it going to work? You go with the Lions and Richardson, and it just goes on and on and on. So yeah, I think we're flying under the radar a bit here.
It was just two seasons ago. I think we had 8 Pro Bowlers. It was either 6 or 8, and most of those guys are still here. Antoine Winfield. You got Vita Vea. You got Tristan Wirfs. You got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin. You got a lot of guys.
I just want to sort of back up what you guys said there. Really, at the end of the day, we still got core of that team there. One or two players have either moved on or retired, but we still got those big name players who have come good for us season after season. And then you bring these rookies in who have got these incredible professionals to learn from and develop their game from. Certainly, you look on the defensive side, we've got arguably one of the best defensive coaches as our head coach in Todd Bowles. I mean, that defense he built during the Super Bowl winning season and leading up to it was absolutely sublime. I think it's still a really exciting time for us.
I mean, what I really liked from the draft and really carrying on from last year, I think we didn't reach for any players. I think we picked the players we genuinely wanted. And, there was a real focus on speed and athleticism. And I think we've, again, got a lot of starters straight out of that draft, building on last year. So, yeah, I think it's really positive. I mean, we've lost a few players. We lost Donovan Smith, who had a really tough year last year. I know he was carrying an injury all year, really, and I think that probably didn't reflect. And so he took a lot of flags, but a lot of them, I think, were protecting Brady more than anything. And, 9 years, he did good service for us overall. But I think Ruff's moving over is going to be really interesting now and to see how we get on. We've got strength all across that unit. And the tight ends that we brought in last year did a brilliant job. And yeah, we've lost Cam Brake, but we've got replacements. I think everywhere that we've had to take a hit because of the cap space, we've been out of backfield quite well.
But don't you think Cam Brake dropped off a bit last year when Otten and the other one? Both came to the fore. So again, it's.
I mean, I think Cam has struggled a bit since he got those concussions. Yeah. To be fair, I don't think that we've seen the Cam Brake of the first 7 years of his career, whatever it was. We saw a little bit less of him, but over his career, he took a lot of hits for the Bucks. And he's well deserved retirement if he doesn't get it again. And it's sorry to miss him. But we've already planned for the future. We've got two great tight ends on place already.
Yeah, but it is. And if we can just escape injuries, don't forget we lost Ryan Jensen, who was like the key man on our offensive line on week one, virtually, didn't we? And he's back. And I just love this new guy they've drafted. Great. And I just love him.
Cody Melch, yeah.
He frightened me just by looking at him, to be quite honest.
We do love a ginger, don't we?
Yeah. I can just see that this is going to be... I think we're going to fly. We're flying under the radar. I really think we are flying under the radar.
So just to round off this part of the show, Jen, so I'd just like to get all of your thoughts. I'd like to ask you one last question. And that's, is there any particular game or games that you think could be really important or vital coming this season? David, I'll come to you first on that one.
I think when we finish that horrible trip of road games and we get Carolina back December the 3rd at home, I think that could be the real make or break period of the season for us.
And Phil, what's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing. I think we'll pretty much know where we're going to go by then. And also, Baker Mayfield. I think that Baker Mayfield has got a point, got a chip on his shoulder. He's got a point to prove that man has. And I just think he's in the right place. Hello. I'm feeling positive already. Playoffs, here we come, I tell you.
I said I wasn't going to put you on the spot, but I already have. Can I do it again?
I think I'm probably repeating myself a little bit here, but I look at that right there in the first month, those two home games against Chicago and Philly. Mm-hmm. Chicago, they had the first pick in the draft last year, so obviously they were down. I think they're in a rebuild, but they do have that weapon in Justin Fields, who, if he goes off and runs, you know, breaks off some 50-yard touchdown runs, that could be a game where you feel like going into that game, you're the better team. But if it goes badly for that reason, that could be rough. And then playing Philly, the defending NFC champs, on Monday Night Football in week three, it's a great – that team was second, I think, in defense and third in offense, something like that. They had 70 sacks last year. They've got Jalen Hurts. I've already talked about how those are two really good dual-threat quarterbacks right off the bat. To me, those two games right there are a really early proving ground that you're going to have a much better feel for how good and how competitive this team is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going to be huge for us is the six divisional games. You know, we can take a few hits here and there. The divisional games are going to be massive this year because the whole division is to play for.
I was about to say, the most important game we've got, Alex, I'll tell you now, first round of the playoffs, there's confidence for you.
I like that. There you go. I can't say that the most important game we've got is the Super Bowl, then. Can I stretch you that far, Bill?
No, that far. What's going to play? Okay. One game at a time after that, you know.
Just thought I'd ask. But that is our esteemed panel's view on the Buccaneers 2023 schedule. Love to know what your thoughts are as well. So please tell us in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you guys too. Now, we do have a Buccaneer insider with us tonight. So, Scott, we've got to ask, is there any update you can tell us from within the organisation, how the rookies going on, how are things shaping up for the season? It must be really exciting at one buck at the moment.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of positive feedback from outside sources that really liked it, like Phil did, that really likes what we did in the draft. I think there was an emphasis, and Phil mentioned getting faster. That's definitely true. They said that. But I think they wanted to be more dynamic up front. We have been rolling with a lot of – you got Vita Vea, who's huge and dynamic for how big he is, but we've been putting him next to guys like Akeem Hicks and Ndamukong Suh. Great players, but it was size. It was size, size, size. Will Golston is a very big player. I think they wanted to get a little bit different of a dynamic type of athlete up there, so that was the reason for the Kalijah Kansi pick. Yaya Diaby. And a little later in the draft, a guy that we're really happy about, it, Jose Ramirez. And Shaq Barrett, hopefully, will be back to full health. And I think you got a chance to be a lot more dynamic and pressure, put a lot more pressure up front, which really came and went last year. There were long stretches where we weren't putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And other than how the quarterback plays this year and who the quarterback is, I think if that attempt to rebuild that front is successful, and they really do put a lot more pressure, I think that's the second most important thing that's going to determine how well this team does. Because the linebackers are great. You know what you got in Levante and Devin White. I think the secondary's got a lot of talent in it. And led by Antoine Winfield, I'm expecting big things from him this year. And they kind of got Ryan Neal fell right into their lap. So, and you got two highly paid corners that you love. To me, the big question mark up front is the defensive line. And there's a lot of optimism right now about how that'll be. And there's a lot of optimism about how an offensive line that a lot of outside sources think is going to be trouble, because you're moving Tristan Wirfs probably to left tackle and Luke Getteke is probably your right tackle. And there's a lot of unproven things there, but Ryan Jensen's back. Cody Mauch is a perfect fit for the type of running game that we're going to do. So Matt Filer, that was a nice pickup as well. So a lot of effort put into getting the trenches better this year. And there's a lot, you were asking me how it feels around here. I think there's a lot of confidence. And, you know, a new offensive coordinator leading the way. There's a lot of excitement about what that's going to look like, about the offense hopefully being a little more balanced, better rushing attack. So that's basically, I think, the way the feel is now. But I will admit that this is generally a very optimistic time of the year, as it is.
I mean, I think from a lot of that and, you know, special teams, I think one thing we're hopeful this year is on offense, a lot more shorter fields.
That'd be nice.
Instead of having to do lots of long drives down, I think if we can get other teams on the back foot and have short fields, that's going to be huge. It's going to mean less work for the quarterbacks to start with and so many throws. So I think, you know, I think that's a lot of the reason we're going for this fast pace to get our teams wrong.
And I think I also think you got a bit of luck. Any team's got a little bit of luck. If you start looking at the last two seasons, you know, we weren't very far off the, I mean, 2 years ago, we didn't really went to the Super Bowl again. And it was only injuries. It was only injuries that stopped us from going, really. You know, we hadn't, it was like a wide receiver who turned up with boots could play because there wasn't anybody else left. And I just think if we can just stay clear of injury, big long-term injuries, I think we're going to have a much better season than what people think. A much better season.
Well, those are both good points. I mean, in 2020, we enjoyed extremely good health, and that was no small part in why the Buccaneers were able to win the Super Bowl. And generally, the teams in the Super Bowl are the teams that have, like you said, Phil, the good luck in terms of health. And we haven't really had it the last 2 years, so hopefully it comes back around.
Yeah, I also think the other thing everybody's doing is because Tom Brady's gone, they just think, oh, well, they've had it. No chance. Tom Brady's gone. Yeah, but we, you know, he wasn't going to like go on forever, you know. And I just think they've made some good moves, and I like Baker Mayfield. I liked him when they first drafted him, and I just think he's got a point to prove. I really do.
Dave Canales, our new OC, really thinks that Baker's in a good place right now. You know, he last year obviously getting traded and then getting released, and so bouncing around a little bit and could possibly hurt your confidence or put a chip on your shoulder. But Dave says Baker's in a really good place. He still has that swagger. He still comes into a room and kind of takes control of it. And his teammates generally like him a lot. They like his confidence and his attitude. But he's not in a spot where he's feeling bitter, or if he doesn't win the quarterback battle, he's going to have, you know, he's going to fall apart. He's going to crumble. He's in a really good spot with himself right now in terms of how he feels about his career, how he feels about himself. So he still has that Baker Mayfield swagger, but he doesn't have the negative side of that. If it doesn't go your way, you react badly. So I think that's a nice point by Dave, and that makes me feel more confident about Baker.
And the optimism theme continues, which is great. We love that. an optimistic feeling in one but place. So we love that. Thanks for that, Scott. Thanks for sharing the insight there. So, David, do you want to come over to you now? Because we've got an exciting event coming up for Bucs UK next month. It's coming around quickly.
Yeah, it sure is. So it's our annual summer get-together and AGM. So Saturday, June the 24th from 2:30 in the afternoon. The Red Lion in Apsley, Hemel Hempstead, the venue where we went last year. The Reeds have taken on the mantle. They're going to organise the Bucs UK Cornhole Championships. Ah. So building on last year's feisty events, I think it's going to be all to play for this year.
Who's the real ringer? Who's the real ringer in Cornhole?
It's got to be Dom, isn't it? So.
It started off being a bit of fun. It got into some serious rivalry towards the end of it.
If you think playoffs are competitive, you haven't seen anything. And we've got the room all for the evening as well. So plenty of quizzes and competitions during the night, and just generally a lot of good fun and great way to start the season. See everybody. So yeah, June the 24th. Go to the website. Details for tickets are all on there.
Fantastic. Going to be a brilliant event as always. So if you can make our AGM, Bucs UK members, please get your tickets purchased, and we'll look forward to seeing you in June for that. Well, that does bring us to the end of our episode. David, Phil, Scott, thank you ever so much for joining me for this one. Scott, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you with us again. Thank you for giving up your time to come and chat to us. Of course, if you do want to check Scott out on his social media, the links are in the description below. And his articles are always being published on Buccaneers.com. So go and check out what Scott has on there as well. All that's left for me to do is say a very big thank you for you guys for joining us as always. We will be back with another episode very soon. Just take care and go Bucs.
Go Bucs.
Go Bucs.
Go Bucs.